son's bedroom door, and he said, come in. She looked in. He was still in bed, and she says, don't you think you ought to be getting ready for church? And he says, I'm not going. So as a mother would do, she sat on the edge of the bed and said, what's the matter? He said, I'm not going. I don't like the people there. They don't like me. Mother said, well, look, I'll give you two reasons why you are going. One, you're 49 years old. And two, you're the preacher. I thought that was funny. I like that. Now, Dave told me he heard it on the TV this morning. Page number 658. Our call to worship, 658. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my wicked thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Page 654, change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Heart O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Page 662 and 663. With all my heart, I want to love you, Lord, and live my life each day to know you more. All that is in me is yours completely. I'll serve you only with all my heart. With all my heart, I want to love you, Lord, and live my life each day to know you more. All that is in me is yours completely. I'll serve you only with all my heart. Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory, Lord, I offer my days to you. As a pleasing sacrifice, Lord, I offer you my life. Lord, I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you and my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. And page 655, Sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. You may be seated. As we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer this morning, for those of you who are not aware, Wendy Fuchs is back home this week. She was in shock trauma for a long time, and she's not out of the woods, but she'll be having nurses come in on a daily basis to take care of her needs while she continues to recover. So it is good news that she is back home. I would share also, too, that my father-in-law got a good report from his broken ribs, and he's able to drive again, so that's good news as well. Are there any others you'd like to mention this morning? Okay, remember Mary's brother Chuck having a procedure with his pacemaker. Dorothy, how's your husband doing? Any other requests for prayer? I want you to remember the Bible quizzers. Okay, they're going up there. Anthony's going for the very first time, you know, and this is their first real quiz as this team. They had the fun quiz back in November they did very well in. So they've been working hard. They're ready for it. So we look forward to that this afternoon. Five-person team. 5, 10, 9, and 8-year-olds. That's amazing. You know, they're going up to be a part of the Bible quiz. Any other announcements? All right, if not, then a show of hands for any unspoken request you would have as we go to Heavenly Father in prayer. Lord, we're grateful that we could be here today. What a blessing it is, Lord, to gather. And we know, Lord, that you hear our prayers. What a blessing it is, Lord, to know that the living body hears us, cares for us, looks out for us, protects us, corrects us, blesses us. We are so grateful, Lord, for all of your blessings. Be with all those requests that were made during our Sunday school hour and just now, Lord, whether it was a spoken word or an uplifted hand or just something, Lord, that's on the hearts of your children. We know, Lord, that you know our hearts and you hear our prayers. Be with us in the events of the day, the events of the week to come, the Bible quiz this afternoon, and with us here during worship, Lord, as we look to your word for guidance and worship and praise your name. Forgive us all where we fall short. We give you all the praise as we ask these things in thy precious name. Amen. I'll ask you to turn to page number 489, and while we're singing that, we'll dismiss junior worship to go downstairs. Page 489, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, have my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art called, trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Great Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comforts, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
For announcements this morning, a couple of changes you want to be aware of. First off, we got a busy day today, and I'm not feeling caught a cold and stuff, so I decided I'd let the band members know that we will not be practicing tonight. But the ladies will be meeting on Tuesday night, rescheduled from last week with the bitter cold. Ladies be meeting on Tuesday night here at the church, and then the council will be meeting on Thursday night here at the church. Next Sunday will be the Sunday school elections between Sunday school and worship. The last Sunday of the month, we'll have a choir practice in prayer and praise. Sunday, February 2nd at 1 o'clock, we're going to bring back the Super Bowling at Tawnytown. Details to be announced. It's usually around $9 for 2 hours of bowling and a slice of pizza and or a hot dog and a Coke. I expect it would be somewhere in that ballpark. But we'll let you know once I have that firmed up. And a definite date change. The last announcement on your bulletin has been moved to February 15th. So our sweetheart breakfast will be the day after Valentine's. I thought I outsmarted myself. Darren's Pinewood Derby is usually around that time. I assumed it was going to be the 15th, so I got it backwards. So we'll do the sweetheart breakfast on the 15th, on the day after Valentine's Day. Any other announcements? I appreciate everybody's help in Darren's mission project. That will continue throughout the month of February, January and February. If you like a cup of hot chocolate before Sunday school or in between services for a donation, it all goes to his. He's got a heart for orphans, so we got to find a place to give that money to support the orphans, but I'm sure we can find that. And my granddaughter is selling Girl Scout cookies, so if you would like to, that's not a mission project, but if you would like, I got to get your fixed on the Thin Mints, or personally, Do-Si-Dos, Samoas, and Tagalongs, you can have the Thin Mints. But whatever. Okay, see Alexa today COD, so you can order a whole bunch. You don't have to worry about paying for it right now. So thank you very much. Any other announcements? If not, this time I'll ask our ushers to come forward and collect your offering.
Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Praise Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here today. We thank you, Lord, for your abundant blessings upon us. And we take a moment, Lord, to give back to you that which you have given to us. Bless each and every gift, both the gift and the giver, no matter how large or small. In thy name we pray. Amen. Do we have any birthdays today? My brother Chuck, whom I'm very proud of, will be inducted into the Frederick County Sports Hall of Fame on February 1st, and he'll be up here for that. But his birthday is on Tuesday, and I guess he'll be 58. If I'm 60, he'll be 58. Is that right? Yeah, beats me. If I'm 60, he's 58. Yeah, he'll be 58. So between now and my birthday, my three oldest brothers are, or the three oldest of us are 58, 59, 60. And then I bump up to 61, and Steve bumps up to 60. But for 3 months, we're one apart. All right. I'm going to share something real before I call on Crystal. But I have to pick this up on Facebook. George Spangler is the pastor of one of the church plants up in the Camp Hill area. He was the pastor at Newville and the pastor at Camp Hill. Very successful ministries at both. But he felt the call to start a church. So I think it's doing pretty well. But he had come across a couple articles about that he thought had given preachers and church people in general some bad press about tipping at a restaurant. And apparently the story got out that a group of church people had went to dinner or something. And you know, if you've been to restaurants, if you have a larger group, a lot of times a tip is automatically added onto the check. Okay? And one particular preacher objected to the fact that an 18% tip was added to the check. And his words were, "I only give God 10%, why should I give you 18? Didn't put us in the best of light, okay? And what you personally believe about tipping and so forth, that's up to you, all right? However, George Spangler got the idea, and he put it out to his congregation. He says, "We're going to go to a restaurant for breakfast on a Thursday," whatever it was. And he said, "Anybody would like to join me is welcome to come." He said, "But we are going to contact the restaurant and find a deserving server, somebody who works hard, who is in need. You can order whatever you want, but you have to leave at least a $20 tip." All right? So they contacted the restaurant, found such an individual that was deserving, and it turns out there were 17 of them that gathered for breakfast that morning. And this one waitress took care of all of them, had a good time and conversation, so forth. She worked hard. And what they had done, they got a Christmas card, okay? And everybody signed it. So when it come time, everybody got their check. They said, "Here, we've got something for you." And they handed her the Christmas card in an envelope. And it was fat, all right? She didn't know what it was, but she opened it up and looked inside. $440, okay? You talk about making a difference in somebody's life that was deserving. I would say, now, we don't always know. We don't always know if somebody's... You got bad service. Maybe somebody's having a bad day. Maybe it's not the server's fault at all, you know. But what a difference we can make. And, you know, and I'm reminded of the old starfish story, you know, where, you know, the little boy is, there's thousands of starfish washed up on the beach. This little boy's down there picking up and one at a time throwing them back in the water, you know. Somebody comes along and said, "There's hundreds of thousands of starfish. What difference can you make?" He said, "I don't know, but it sure makes a difference to this one," as he threw it back into the water, okay. Same thing goes with making. I just thought that was a really neat story that I wanted to share with you. One of our Church of God preachers took the initiative to help somebody out in that way. And the comments that I saw about the people who were involved in, I saw on Facebook, yeah, just, you know, the idea of being able to see the look on this woman's face, you know, and her appreciation and so forth made it all worth it. So I just wanted to share that with you. Okay, DVD of the Christmas program. If you didn't get one, right over there, Edna wants one. Okay, pass that over to her. Crystal has special music for us this morning. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Crystal. Faith of Our Fathers. Very nice song. Man, it was cold Monday, Tuesday. You know, I like snow. I like winter. You know, but every time that I go around and put my trash out around the corner of the garage, I look back, and there is my nicely prepared garden plot. That's not always that way. It wasn't that way this spring. You know, my Saturdays are not always mine. So you got to have a good Saturday with nothing else to do and the weather cooperating to get that garden ready in the fall. Okay? Well, I happened to get one this time. Man, I got all the old vines and tomato plants and the tomato stakes and all. Got them all, you know, raked up and got the tiller out there and really tore the ground up good, even expanded, made the garden a little bit bigger. I mean, I am ready to go. And I look out that. Now, last year, look out that, you just got to mess everything, you know. So it's really hard then to get your stuff planted this spring because the ground, that takes longer to dry out because you got all this crap all over and everything. But boy, I'm ready this time. I'm ready this time, so I can't wait until that time comes to be able to get those seeds in the ground at the right time. But I talk about that and remind of the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8. And, you know, there's, when you talk about gardening and so forth, the parable of the sower has so much to share with us about how things happen as a plant grows. Just 20 or 30 years ago, there was much more prevalent to us because just about everybody had a garden, you know, and I would say the majority of the people don't anymore. But nonetheless, you know, there are problems, you know. When you have a garden, you got your pests and you got, you know, your tomato worms and that kind of stuff, and you got the weeds and you got the rocks. I mean, at the patch that we had at our house, we got enough rocks out of that place to build a road. You know, I mean, just they must grow. You know, that just old pickup truck that Dad would park out in the spot, and we'd 10-foot circle around, just pick up rocks and throw in that thing, and then he'd move it, and we'd pick up rocks again until we got that truck full of rocks. And of course, it wasn't the dump bed trucks, so you know what you have to do then? Take somewhere and throw each one off. You know, but that was just something that's all part of the process. I remember one particular time, and I've got the scar right here. Okay, I picked up a big rock, and I put it on the truck bed, and was pushing it back when my brother Steve threw a rock on, and it hit me right here in the hand. There's a little scar there. Went to the doctor. The doctor said, "Well, it's kind of in a natural fold there. No sense putting stitches in." I mean, it was a nasty looking cut. So got a little scar there. You know, it's battle scars from growing up with brothers. You know, but anyway. Along those lines, we talk about the problems that we have. And I'm reminded of a fellow some 40 years ago that I got a chance to hear at the YTC camp. He used to belong to the Youth Temperance Council. Good organization, good Christian organization that promoted staying away from that bad stuff. You know? And he said, he made this statement that has always stuck with me. He said, "Christians don't have problems." He said, "Christians do not have problems." He said, "They just have challenges." They don't have problems, they just have challenges. Now, when you think about it, there is a difference. Because a problem is something that we hope is going to go away, and we try to deal with it, try to work around it. But a challenge is something that we face head on and aggressively attack and try to beat it. So if we look at our, quote, problems as challenges with that kind of a mindset, how much better off we're going to be rather than the old poor me that we tend to fall into sometimes. Well, let's look back at that parable. We want to look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 16. This is very familiar to most of you, but it has a lot of things that we can apply to our life. Luke chapter 8, and it starts with verse 4. The first thing Actually, it's the second thing. The second thing there in verse 6 was the rocky soil. Again, I've shared with my feelings about rocks in the garden. And with the rocks, keep the roots from getting deep enough. The rocks keep the roots from getting deep enough. Now, where I live, Walkersville, is rocky limestone. Okay? And you're probably not aware of, you're all familiar with the Medford quarries down here and over at Union Bridge, but you take 194 through Woodsboro, there are huge quarries on either side of 194 that you don't see. Okay? You have to go up Ligor Road. Ligor Road goes, I say two, actually three. Ligor Road goes right between two, one on either side. And then on the other side of 194, if you're going down again to Woodsboro, about the place where the Thomas Bennett Hunter plant is, stuff like that, you look over to your left beyond that, you see a ridge. And on the other side of that ridge is a huge quarry, you know. Limestone, you know, it's very prevalent in this area. So Walkersville is a rocky area. And it was exactly 15 years ago this summer that they were building a housing development up there right next to me called Sun Meadow. And they were had to blast some rock that was in the way of the foundations. And they got a little too close or didn't know it was there and busted a sewer line. And if you remember those days, it was national news. It was in national news. We went down to play a baseball tournament in Charlottesville and they'd heard about it, you know. But when they busted that sewer line, the water's contaminated, the whole, you know, it was just a mess. But what happens is the guys that were building the housing development didn't see the limestone as a problem. They saw it as a challenge. Now, again, did it go about in quite the right way? I'll give you an example. When I was a teenager in high school, my father, before he went to work, would pack our lunches. And I've got a decent-sized hand, but my dad's hands were about twice the size of mine, okay? And growing up poor, all right, I didn't even know what a Ziploc bag was till we got married. You know, we got the old lunch bag that, you know, you tore off the strip, you know? And I could see my daddy had fixed me a ham sandwich, all right? And he was trying to open that lunch bag, that sandwich bag. Okay, I'm not talking about a Ziploc. I'm talking about not those fold lock things. That came along later too, but just a cheap old. And he was trying, you know, with his big fingers to try to get that thing to open up. And I watched him finally get frustrated, just tore the thing open. You know, just tore the thing open. Now, you have to be careful in how we deal with challenges. I mean, he opened the bag, but at what cost? You know, it wasn't good anymore. So we have to, based on biblical principles, fruits of the Spirit, you know, face these challenges in the right way. Now, believers whose roots are not deep enough, we find examples of them. Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 21 says, "Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." One of the problems that we face today, probably facing the church, people are so easily offended. I get a kick out of Debbie when she wants to tease me about something. She always prefaces it with that. "Don't take this the wrong way," she always says, okay? Every single time, all right? Because she doesn't want to offend anybody. But she does that because people are so easily offended. People will fall away from church at the first sign of trouble because their roots aren't deep enough. If their roots were deep enough, they would be able to withstand things like that. Things like financial hardships or family squabbles or problems at work or disagreements with other church members. Their faith wavers because their roots aren't deep enough, and Satan convinces them that they don't need the church anymore. The things that we find in the world don't disappear when we come inside the church doors. People are who they are. But we ought to have enough love and faith for our fellow church family members that we can get by little things like that. People decide that they don't need the church anymore. I'm sure you've heard this story before about the farmer that was paid a visit by the pastor. And this particular farmer had taken a rundown old place and really made it into something. A lot of work, a lot of sweat. And the preacher commended him. And he said, "Josh, you are to be commended. You and the Lord have done wonders with this place." And Josh looked at the preacher and said, "Yeah, you should have seen when the Lord had it by himself." You know, too many times, that's the attitude that we take, that we're doing it all on our own. We don't need the Lord to overcome our challenges. But we need to. We need to realize that ignoring that is ignoring this great power that can be used for His honor and His glory. I guess when we think about it, we can come right down to the end of times and think about the story of Peter in the boat, where he saw Jesus on the water. And Peter is the one who said that he wanted to walk on the water. And Jesus said, "Come." So Jesus and Peter did. His faith must have been deeply rooted in order to take that initial step. But while his faith was strong, he was okay. When his faith wavered, he was in trouble. When he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the stormy waters below him, that's when he got into trouble. And the same could be said for us. While we keep our eyes on Jesus, we're okay. But we start paying too much attention to the storms about us, that's when we get in trouble. So it starts with getting your roots deeper. Back when we had that big windstorm back several months ago, on Old Frederick Road is a nice brick house, and there were two huge pine trees on either side of the driveway. And we drove down there, and both of them laying on their side with the roots exposed. But you can see the problem. You know, that particular kind of tree doesn't have what's called a taproot. Doesn't go straight down. It kind of spreads out. Not deeply rooted enough. Lost a pine tree in my house. Matter of fact, that's another story too. It wasn't actually my tree. When we first built our houses next to each other, there was just a swale between the properties. And my neighbor, G.W., comes over and says, "Robbie, said I'd like to plant a pine tree back here." I said, "Yeah, it's fine." Because I had mowed to a certain part, and he had mowed to a certain part, and, you know, he put the tree on what he thought was his part. Until a couple years later, he wanted to fence his backyard. He came and he says, "Rob," he says, "I put that tree on your property because, you know, the surveyor put the fence up." I said, no big deal. If that's okay with me, it's okay with you. Until several years later, after G.W. moved away, that tree fell over. And I was one headed. So anyway, same kind of tree, though. Roots are not where they ought to be. Okay, and they're susceptible to the storms of life. And if our roots aren't as deep as they should be, so are we more susceptible to the storms of life. But we have the resources to face today's challenges. Read God's Word. Apply it to your life. Pray for God's direction and follow His leading. And then listen to your preacher. Don't do what he does. Do what he says. You know, we'll all be better off. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be here today. We thank you, Lord, for the parable of the sower and the lessons that we can learn from it. We only focused on the one here today about the rocky soil, but there's other fabulous lessons to be learned in that. And help us to realize, Lord, that problems are only problems if we let them be problems. We can face them as challenges and win the victory. We thank you, Lord, for your word. If you turn down your hymn books to page number 490. Lord, I'm coming home, page 490. Be standing as we sing. I've wandered far away from home. Lord, I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Nevermore to roam. Open now thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Nevermore to roam. Open now thine arms of love, Lord, and I'm coming home. I've tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. Leave thy word, Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. Open wide thy arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.